So it's a little bit late, so I'll just give it a short class. Then you can have some prasad and take some food.
Magyana timidandasya janaganasalakayam chaksus militam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manavistam sabitam jena bhutale Rayam Upakaramaya Dadati Saparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we're reading the ninth chapter, text 29. Samaham sarvabhutesu namedveshtosti napiyaha yeva janti taman bhaktya maiteshu chapiyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, is he Bhakti Vidhanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is speaking, he says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Report. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take special interest in the devotee who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But that is not discrimination, it is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, whatever form, is his son. And so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours water, which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on the rocks or the land or the water. But for his devotee, he gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore, they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase, Krishna consciousness, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in Him. The Lord says here distinctly, Maite, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, but at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state, are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotee. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree. And whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord here is stated to be partial to his devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotee. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotee function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.
So, I don't know if I spoke on this verse last night. Anyway, the idea is that we can rise above the material platform. We, the soul, actually have nothing to do with matter. But by misuse of independence, we become implicated. Sometimes we give the example of oil and water. They don't mix together, but they appear. The water is carrying the oil. So similarly, the material body is carrying the soul. But actually the soul has nothing to do with matter. But it looks like it does, because it's the soul is moving with the body. The body is material. So it looks like the soul is also material. Actually it's not. And we can prove that because when the soul leaves the body, then the body again just becomes a lump of matter. It has no more life. So the living principle is the soul. And that soul, quality of the soul, it has consciousness. It has desire. It has activity. So this is the nature of the soul. This is our nature. So this is common to every living entity, not just to the Hindu or Muslim or Christian. Every living entity is a soul, part of God. That's their constitutional position. They're all servants of God. But when we come to the material world, we forget about God. Or if we hear about God, we use Him for our purpose, for our own advantage. We see in the name of religion, there's so much cheating. There's a big scope for cheating because people can say, oh yes, I'm very religious, but really they're doing it for their own purpose. This is material. But here we're seeing that the devotee is the spiritualist. Devotee means he's working also, but he's working for the interest of God. He's working for the pleasure of God. And when he does like that, then God reciprocates. As you surrender to Him, He reciprocates accordingly. This is His nature. He's also not impersonal. He has His own psychology, you can say. And one of that psychological makeup of the Lord is that He's inclined to His devotee. He's not just a dead stone or something without feeling. No. If you sincerely try to please Him, then He'll reciprocate. Now the way He reciprocates may not be exactly how you expect, because that's up to His sweet will. He reciprocates, but we should have the faith that His reciprocation is for our benefit. If we're really devotees, then we have faith that if I'm serving God, then however God deals with me, that's going to be for my benefit. So this is the mentality that we should try to adopt. We should become devotees, and then we should have faith that God is my friend, so let me please Him, let me act for His pleasure, and then He'll reciprocate. So this faith is required. So how do we get faith that there is God, that He's my friend? That faith is cultivated in the association of others who are faithful, more faithful. Just like practically, Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1965. We didn't have any faith in Krishna or even in God. Practically, at least personally, I was an agnostic. I didn't know if God existed or not. And when I was trying to enjoy, then I wanted to think that there was no God. Because I didn't want Him to, you know, I didn't want to feel guilty about my nonsense. So that was my position. But in the association of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, then gradually my faith developed. Yes, there must be God. And there, because their law is there. And then I see also that he has faith in God, and he's not losing. So let me also try to develop my faith. So this is why Srila Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give people a chance to develop their faith in association with other devotees. And it's practical, it works. If we're sincere, then this process works. Of course, if we want to cheat God, then we'll never be successful. But if we're sincere, then God will reciprocate with us in such a way that we'll remain devotees. Sometimes people say, oh, he was a devotee, but then he left. The answer is, he wasn't sincere. He didn't take the process properly. There's no excuse, because God knows everything. He's in your heart. So if you're sincere to serve him, he'll provide for you. He'll carry what you lack. He promises, my devotee will never be vanquished. He'll help you to go forward. But first qualification, you have to become a devotee. Devotee means you try to please God. So as Prabhupada is mentioning here, when it comes to pleasing, then that means there's a person. You can't please a mountain or some sky or something big. A person you can please. So God is a person, but he's not a person like you and me. He has a spiritual body, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But he still has feelings. And when we try to please him, then he's pleased, if we're sincere. Not that we can do anything significant for him, because he has everything. Just like a father, he has everything. But if the son comes and brings him the newspaper or something, then the father will be pleased. Oh, my son is trying to serve me. And the father will appreciate, and he'll reciprocate. Similarly, God has everything. But when he sees that we're trying to make him happy, trying to please him in some way, then he becomes satisfied with us. And because he's in our heart, we'll also feel satisfied. Therefore, we say there's no excuse for leaving Krishna consciousness or for giving up being a devotee. The only reason is that you're not sincere. If you're sincere, then God will help you. So there's not any trick to be sincere. You be sincere by being sincere. If you mold your life in such a way that you can satisfy God, then you'll be successful in life. Otherwise, what is the purpose of life? Just like if we go on a train. If we go on a train, then we expect to go someplace, isn't it? We may be sitting in the station and somebody's bringing us a cold drink and a newspaper. But after 1 hour, 2 hours, we become restless. Why are we not moving? Because the purpose of the train is to take us. Similarly, the purpose of this human life is to bring us to God. So those who are not making progress toward God, they're going to be frustrated. And out of frustration, they can do any damn thing. Therefore, we say this is a very dangerous place, this material world. Because the human beings become envious. And out of envy, they can perform any kind of atrocity, any kind of horrible activity. Therefore, we should finish up our business here. We shouldn't try to make a permanent solution here. We can't remain here permanently, but we should make progress. The fact that we can't remain here permanently doesn't mean it's not an important, situation for us. We have this human form of life. If we use it nicely, then we can make tangible progress to go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. If we just loiter here, like sitting on the train without moving, then we spoil the opportunity. So the opportunity is there. We should take advantage of it and go forward in our progressive march to the spiritual world. I better not talk too much. Oh, everybody's listening so nicely. I'm tempted. Any questions?
I could kiss them and took it as an affirmation.
So we can progress. What about destiny and karma?
No, those things have nothing to do with the soul.
Those are working in the materials platform.
But here the word transcendentalist is used. Transcendental means above the karma.
Karma can go on, just like Lord Jesus. It looked like he had really bad karma. He was being crucified. There's so many examples. Prahlad Maharaj. There's hundreds of examples of people who looked like they had bad karma. But because they were transcendental, they were above that karma, therefore it didn't affect them. They could go on with their service to God. So, Prabhupada was once asked that. Is our progress in spiritual life depending on our karma? Prabhupada said, no, no, no. 3 times he said, no. Progress in spiritual life is only depending on your desire. Nothing can check that. If you desire to serve God, then that in itself is the success. Karma is going on in the material world. You're destined to enjoy your suffering. But spiritual life is not dependent on karma.
Is it a karma erased?
Is it erased?
Yeah. When you become God conscious, but that's that. In other words, Prabhupada gives the example of the fan is turning. So you pull out the plug, but for some time the fan will still turn. But when the fan is fully severed, then there's no more karma. So it may take some time. But even while that's going on, it can interfere with your service, actually. Even if you're sick, even if you're in any condition, you can still serve God. Because it only depends on your desire. Your husband will explain to you. Son, whoever he is. Anyone else? So, why not desire to serve God? What is the problem? Otherwise, our nature is to serve. We're serving our senses, we're serving our mind, we're serving our country, we're always serving, but why not serve God? This has nothing to do with sectarian idea, my God, your God. No, there's only one God. We should serve Him with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our neighbor as ourself. This is also important. We should understand that God is in everyone's heart, not just God is in our temple, God is only in our church or in our mosque, and the others are all infidels, kafir. We can kill them and God is pleased. No, God is not pleased. Because everyone is a part and parcel of God. Everyone is the son of God, the child of God. Therefore, we have to respect everyone. Just like when we come to the temple or the mosque, we take off our shoes, we bow down, because we respect. This is a temple of God. Similarly, God is in everyone's body, in everyone's heart. So we should respect everyone. This is real religion. Even an animal we should respect. Okay, we'll stop here. Shri Bhagavad Gita Ki.
Yeah.
And that is Prasadam, and there's also a service you can do here by